So, with the noise and me sitting down, if you have to change your position, feel free to come closer. I'm partly sitting down so that we can have a little bit more of a kind of heart talk rather than sometimes someone sitting up here brings us a little apparently up here. And what I'd like to talk about, what I suggest we talk about is along the lines of what are we willing to do for love? In various levels. And a little bit pulling some threads from previous conversations we've had. So we talked about tension and non-tension and harmony. And reading the harmony in the tension and falling into the harmony through the non-tension. So that we could learn to fall into the harmony also through the tension as well as through the non-tension. And with tension and love, and with love, you might need to substitute your own word. For some people, it might be more like, what are you willing to do for freedom? Or what are you willing to do for clarity? Or what are you willing to do for life? And as we draw out the conversation, you might get more of a sense of what it is for you. So, if it's love, for example, usually, certainly when we were children and also usually continuing now, we we have kinds of a kind of lifestyle that involves sort of compromising ourselves in order to get the love that we need. Do you know what compromising is? Do you not know what compromise? It's different from the Spanish compromiso. It's like giving up what was really more important in order to have something that symbolizes what was important. Does that make sense? More or less? It's important for it to make sense. Yeah. And so we have the habit energy goes into particular shapes, I'll call it shapes, of tension, of compromise, where I was taught and I'm trained and I continue to buy into relationships where my part is to go into this shape so that I can fit into that shape so that we can do the usual compromise, which is doing a symbol for what we really want, what we really need, by giving up what we really need and pretending. I'm laughing, but it's really sad also. And so one reason we need all of the sensitivity that we have is to start to feel those shapes when they happen. And again, this big obstacle to our sensitivity to actually feeling is that we don't want to see ourselves as tense people or as unloving people or as people who have never in our whole lives tasted love. We want to see ourselves as good or good enough, or at least we want to see ourselves in the same old way. Maybe that same old way is never good enough, but so part of what I mean by what are we willing to do for love is seeing ourselves in these shapes that we go into habitually, trying to get love. Because we somewhere very deeply understand that this is how I'm going to get love. Even though we know, we see, or we could know, and we could see that it doesn't ever work. Ever, ever. We've disconnected from the source of love to go into the shape, so that's why it never works. And we might get plenty of symbols of love, and it never ever hits the spot. The symbol of love could be someone smiles at me. smiles at me, gives me a present, does any of the things that for someone else, unfortunately, it might be some violence that might symbolize connection and love for some people. But usually we have these other games. You'll listen to me for as long as I want you to, or whatever. You'll tell me something that feels very deep. And then I feel, then I say, okay, I accept this as love. I accept this currency and this bank. So really seeing ourselves really demands this, like really wiping the glass clean, that we're willing to see. And we can say this until the cows come home. But if you know that feeling of catching yourself trying to get someone to like you or whatever, and then not wanting to see it, trying to erase your experience instead of erasing your resistance, then in that moment, if you can relax and feel like we are all doing this, it's okay. And what's going on? What do I really need, and what will really fill? What will go in that place that needs? So part of what I mean, what are we willing to do for love, is to see the strange things that we do trying to get love. And I also mean, what are we really willing to do for real love? What strange shapes are we willing to let go of? What simple shape are we willing to be in? Just to feel all of that power that feels too much. That feels not just for me. Not in the way I demand. So just the power of the habit energies going into those shapes is important to recognize and kind of respect in a way. And the power of something maybe that's not just habit energy, but that gets mixed into the habit energies, which is more biological. And usually in a group of people, for example, there would be sexual energy that comes and mixes with the conditioning. But maybe the sexual energy is something that's not just habit energy, but kind of gets glued to the habit energies. And that gives even more power to our going into shapes. And again, like respect for the power of that. And then a long time ago, we were talking about courage and compassion and blessing. And I think probably for no one else it's a burning question except for me. But we had a question there. What is it that gives courage? What is it that allows compassion? What helps us jump out of the brushstroke onto the blank paper? That then looks like courage and looks like compassion and looks like generosity. But what gives that potential for coming out of a shape? Or just finding yourself not in that shape, in the situation that you always go into that shape? And it's not that I had one thing in mind that no one guessed. But I did try to give a hint at the very, very end of that talk. But I think no one really cared about it as much as I did. So I was playing with paint again recently, and I accidentally found the painting image for momentum that's not habit energy, like freeing momentum. And so there were a lot of drops of wet paint on the paper, and I was getting ready for my hard work of trying to help the drop fall off. And suddenly, they all fell together and just all fell off. A different color. So these three kinds of things that move us, the shapes or the habit energies, and then these sort of, I don't really like the word biological, but that kind of maybe genetic or, what can we call it? Yes, thank you. The instinctual pushes. And then some kind of freeing momentum that comes somehow. So after all of this talking, I hope you're not shy. If anyone wants to say anything about any of those three, preferably starting with the first two. Habit energy and shape is what I'm calling the same thing. But then the instinctual push also fits into the shapes and helps the shapes get stronger.
And the third one?
The third one, what I'm calling the third one, is more like a freeing momentum, where we find ourselves falling out of the lines into some unknown territory called love. Anyone? What are you willing to do for your pet or your passion? Or what, in other words, now, wait, what shape do you find yourself making? Everyone smiles until I look at them and they're like... Let's just check if people can hear you. So just taking up some more space. And what Nandaji also said very good clarity was she sees herself going into this shape in order to get care. Can you hear? Yeah. Yeah. I find they're really deep. And it's like almost deciding to die, to go out of the shape. I find it's almost like deciding, or it is like deciding to die. I might as well die, so I'll just go out of this shape. Which means I might as well live, but our understanding is, I might as well die, so I'll just open. And how is the difference for you speaking quietly and speaking more loudly? So scary and nice.
Yeah. This morning I had a meditation and I was kind of flowing through three moves to energies. I'm doing the stone bath, like breathing in the small and breathing out of it. It was almost like a kind of dance. It was scary.
Kind of what?
I don't know if it's the right word.
It's a good word. Could everyone hear the word? Nice. So wait, let's pause and see if, can you hear? Not quite. It's really a beautiful image, so, and probably behind you it's difficult to hear as well. Just so, summarizing loudly and then continuing, please.
If you take a paper and fold it and take the shapes and you have the negative and the positive of the paper, then taking the negative of like this cartoon image standing in a line or something, and a river coming into it, and fill it up slowly. But the process of filling up for me feels as if like feeling the water coming into it, it's really like standing in the fire, and it somehow feels like you need to do it again and again. Mm. It's almost like as if like coming out of addiction. And I feel like it's kind of the dance of the river. Mm. Like there's no choice
where it would go. Could you hear? So this is a beautiful image of the, a better image of the shape. The shape is just kind of like the outline of something empty. And we take this shape of the outline instead of going into the space within the outline. But then this river energy, this like freeing momentum energy starts to be able to go in to the space. And one reason that healing is such a good word is it's really a time-taking process of letting this medicine river come in and do what it needs to do in this place and this place. And it is like fire. So sometimes the river is allowed to go where it wants, when it wants. But usually what happens is, as Yanivji is describing. So sometimes maybe you've also met someone who's just coming out of a divorce, or they've lost someone they love, or a big sickness, or something that really broke their shapes. And there's sadness, but also a lot of freedom and openness and also intensity of knowing what's important, what are the priorities. And then, wow, that person really free. And then a year later we see them in their next shape. And it's a different person. The freedom got traded again. That's usually what we do. So for example, being a meditator becomes a shell. And sometimes it does have a specific shape or other. She'll repeat. Yes. When you receive support?
When I receive support, I do. It's also like being in the position of like offering support. It's given up to me, like, because I can see that sometimes it can't have this shape of like being strong. But sometimes it feels something else. So.
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah. That's either the good thing or the hard thing. Could you hear?
Yes, I did. Thanks so much.
She said, I also do this. Maybe that's why it's hard to hear. What? What? Good. So, it's one of the things, like with any addiction, it would be hard enough, but it would be clear if all I have to do is never help anyone. If my addiction is to being the helper, okay, X on being a helper. I will never be a helper ever again, I promise. Gesture of victory or whatever. And then life breaks that anti-helper shape. So we would tend to go for taking the new shape of anti-helper. That would be easier in a way. Because we know what we're supposed to do. But then life says, could you just go over there and, you know, put your hand on that person's shoulder? Don't help them. Just put your hand. Don't be strong. Could you just lift that box?
Uh-huh. So I couldn't move the hand or the shoulder. And because of that, I had to wear a protective helmet from like a motorbike helmet, like motorbike helmet. And in the dream, it said, it's because of all what happened, you have to wear that now.
Also,
there's a reason why we have a new space.
I think that in Petra's dream, what I was at first, I was understanding it more the way you're saying, but it felt like more like that the shape is the prison, and the helmet is helping us get ready to get out of prison. Slowly, this is going to help until we can come out of that prison shape. And sometimes just accepting, like, we need a helmet now because of all that happened. We need some black motorcycle helmet. Which is beautiful, not like the usual image of a helmet, of a black motorcycle helmet. And so I think really importantly, feeling, so Petra G, could you hear? Yeah. Talking about like that there were reasons and maybe needs that led us to the shape. And maybe we can talk about the reason, whether it's reason or need, a little bit. But most importantly is maybe to feel what is the need that thought doing this was going to be helpful, or the only, that thought this was the only option we have. This or die. I think that's basically what it is, what it feels like. It's like we feel that our choice is do this or die. Do this or you're out. This is your basically your only choice. And maybe in those many, many moments where that happens, we could also feel some kind of spark, like the kind of more rebellious child or whatever, that knows this is not the only option. Maybe I'm required to do this here in this classroom or this family or whatever, but I know this is not the only option. And I know this is not what I need. I know this is what you think you need, you know, kind of like that. Anything else there? Claudia?
Last night I was like feeling like I was deep into a shape, and like a shape of inadequacy and shame, and like a real fit. And I had fear kind of coming and going like that. Suddenly I felt like the top of my head move a little, and I thought it was just like some sort of energy movement, but I jerked up, and there was a 2-inch cockroach on my shoulder. And my first reaction was like, it just, because it scared me so much that I just swept it off the pillow. Like, it was so clear at that time that, like, this reaction that I had was part of a reaction that someone else had on me. And that, like, although there's reasons that I put myself in this shape, there may or may not be reasons either. Or the cause might not be that.
So if the cause isn't personal, can you say anything more about?
Like a universal.
Mm-hmm. And how would the universal dissatisfaction come to be a shape? And helped you have a great insight.
Yeah. Like, I haven't seen a single taco in the garden, so I thought that was pretty kind.
It was Jesus. On the top of my head. These things happen. And can you say an example of flexible shape and rigid shape? So let's leave it more as a question whether we need shapes. But the possibility of playing with them is a good idea, let's say. But whether we absolutely must have one or the other, I'm not convinced. Yeah. No, it's very important, very, very, very important point that you said. It's part of not needing shapes to play with them. In some moments, it might be worthwhile to play as something. Yeah. But if there's not total play, then what Chad is saying, where if I'm this shape, then I'm imposing sort of my opposite or myself on everything I interact with. So I hit the cockroach off the pillow. Or with Nanda's case in the beginning, she was saying, I become small so that someone will take care of me, so then someone like Roni might come along and take care of her. And interesting to check out those dynamics where the one who looks small maybe is the one with the power, and the one who looks strong maybe is the one without the power in the dynamic. Many times it's the opposite of what it looks like. So it's very dangerous to play with shapes unless we're really playing. Anything?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm able to explain, but yesterday evening I was like thinking about like my past and the idea that I have for myself, like I have an idea that I'm like this. And sometimes I have fear about the future, like I mean this retreat I have reached some points which are good for me. And sometimes fear come up because you say, but in the past you weren't like this, so you know, maybe in the future it will come again. But I said, why could we do this past? And I had this kind of, very light moment in which I realized that actually, like, I'm dying every moment, at every moment I'm broken, so there's nothing like juicy being like this. So it's just a kind of flow, no? So really, if I could be courageous enough, like, to leave this past behind, to leave this idea of the past, of my childhood, of what happened to me, of what took me until here. Because in a way, it can be useful sometimes, but there is a stage in which simply it doesn't exist. Like it's just a story.
Yeah. If somehow, if we can have the helmet when we need it, and also, like, notice when we don't need it,
yes,
and really feel the air on our ears. So there is a big way that our thinking about the story contributes to the habit energy, the power of it. It's not the biggest part of the power of the habit energy, but it's a big part. It really does contribute to that. And it can help us by just playing the game of no, bus. No, Italy. I'm not from Italy. But just to play and see what wishes for a shape to feel safe in. And then at the same time, we have a very strong habit of wanting to say, now I finished my work. And this, I think, again, has to do with our self-image. We don't want to see ourselves as having more work to do on ourselves. It's almost, we can't stand it. So we want to say, now I'm done with that one, no more Italy. And that may, in the moment, it may have some truth in it, but usually it's covering up. And it's not really enjoying no Italy in that moment. And then when Italy comes back, yeah,
then
the other habit that goes with that saying I'm done, the other habit that comes and says, I'll never be done, I'm hopeless. Well, there's definitely escape from that, but not by playing one or the other. Letting ourselves really feel that scary, exposed, and powerful feeling of letting go of the old shapes, and in the moment really feeling and enjoying that.
Unraveling?
Yes, exactly.
Unraveling means
completely falling apart, like your blanket would just be threads or pieces, not a blanket.
Yes.
So we want, what I think what happens is we want to jump from Italy to the next shape of I'm done and not be shapeless. And then when I'm done hits, well, it looks like I'm not quite done. Then we jump to I'm not done. And so there's clearly escape from this. It's just leaving the shapes. playing, letting the shapes just be shapes. And, like Battelle's beautiful image of seeing that the shape is empty. It's just space that has a container, has a hard container, but it's space inside. And letting that shapeless come inside the shape, even though it burns. So cook a little bit and then see what if you have something to add. Yes? Yes, please. I love examples. And that always gets interesting when the sexual energy meets with denial.
Yeah, sure.
The power of that.
Not nearly as interesting though as
tangle.
Truthful expression.
Yeah. Yes. Great. Good. So sometimes the instinctual can be what takes us out of the lines. The lines, like the paint line. The instinctual plus freeing momentum.
But isn't the instinct that's not just a shape as well?
Well, that's what, now that we're starting to get into this more interesting territory.
Is
sexuality, for example, a shape?
Like a waist.
The ways that it goes might be a shape. Is that what you're saying? So what about the sexuality itself?
I don't know. It's never pure. Like, always has to go something.
Does it? It's not my experience. What about food? The need for food. Is that a shape? It can certainly take shapes. So if we remember by shape, we mean habit energy, not just the shape of a carrot. But the need for food, is that something? And then the habit energies that get mixed with that, is that something else? Or is the need for food itself a shape? Is the need for food a habit energy?
It's very tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very tricky. Good. Breatharians?
Yeah.
I don't think that they could hear you.
I don't know the word. According to the people who don't eat for years,
So wait, could you hear what Bat-El said? Could you hear what Jan said?
And then maybe going to the other extreme of avoiding food or sex or something, like that's the habit, so that's still happening.
It sure sounds like it. It's interesting, the word brahmacharya literally means, so brahm is expansiveness, something that continually expands. And then we could say like devotee of expansiveness. That's what it literally means. This word brahmacharya usually is like a euphemism for someone who's celibate, who's not having sex. Or at least that's what they're saying. And it's just interesting that the word, like, it could be a useful word in trying to feel, because it's not just, I'm not saying there's like an easy answer about sex or food. It is very, very tricky. The meaning of brahmacharya. We could say like being a devotee of expansiveness. Dedicating to expansiveness, living in expansiveness. But it usually, these days, is meant to mean not having sex. As a kind of vow or like shape.
So not having sex leads to expansiveness.
Well, if we look around the world, it doesn't seem to me to be the case. It's not that necessarily having sex either is the answer. Yeah. Necessarily.
To me, the need is not the shape, but the way we satisfy the need for food, for sex, whatever. The way we satisfy it, the patterns, the shapes, the kinds of food, the people that we're attracted to, those are the shapes.
Yeah. So maybe it can be helpful to look at, like with any other shape, there's a need in every shape, maybe. Maybe the need is for love, maybe the need is for freedom, maybe the need is for sex. And I'm not saying that those are equal needs either, but who knows? I'm not Dr. Ruth or whatever. just checking, maybe a good way of looking into this is if the way of being with food is satisfying. If the way of being with love is satisfying, then maybe we're not in a shape.
Can I ask them what is satisfying? Like, what is it satisfying?
So, Roni made a great gesture when she said, when she allows herself to receive help, and it was kind of like a relief kind of gesture, or like not only relief but like at last I can be. I think you have to try a little louder.
Well, that kind of that's not constant either, you know, then it comes back this need again.
Yeah.
And then there's a change in that. So that was not satisfying anyway.
I think it's better to go slowly, like not to try to find the answer with our mind, but more with our experience. And like the image of the river that Bat-El gave, the river that's allowed to go inside the shapes, that somehow may be coming from no shape. And maybe the need for love or freedom is not like some kind of limited quantity that if, so maybe this is what we think of. My need for love is I need this much. And if I can have this much water for now, for today, I have enough. But tomorrow I'll need more. So that's our usual idea. I'll get satisfied and then I'll want more. And maybe it's neither a limited quantity that we need. Maybe the need doesn't stop just because it's meeting what it needs. Maybe the need is not a problem. Maybe it's not even what we think of as a need. If we really, like, the need for love, what is that? Or the need for freedom, what is it? Is it like, kind of like my missing leg, you know, I have to deal with it in life? Or is it the whole reason to be alive? Thank God, you know. Sometimes it has to push us. Yeah. And sometimes maybe it doesn't have to push us.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I feel, you know, that this, I have this amazing craving, but I knew all the time, since I was a kid, I knew that there was something that was not right. You know? And this thing had been alive in me very much, and it had made me do a lot of very weird things, you know. And I've been always thinking that, okay, somebody else knows, you know, I had to go, because I saw these signs everywhere, and there was things, you know, but this was, I never talked to anybody about this.
Yeah.
There was nobody who wanted to listen to me about these things.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what to say either, because if I would tell somebody about it, then it would only be about this pin here, and it's not about this pin, it's about something else, but all the time, like, and now it kind of feels like I'm finding that in a way that I don't have, like, I didn't find it anyway, so I don't kind of look around anymore in a way. But still, I feel this, I see the habits, the patterns that during the way I have created for myself, this, like you say, this, okay, now I get bored. Boredom is a big one for me, so now I do this because I'm bored again, because I want so much to feel this thing. So instead of just sitting down and filling it up myself, I improve those aspects.
And then giving up to find it outside, what happens?
Well, I say it's very difficult in a way, because my mind is so speeded up. I'm very speeded, and there's so much movement going on, and all the time it's pulling me. And the biggest fight for me in this is what I really want to do, and what I just think that I want to do. Like, I've been pushing, repressing myself a lot for a long time, because I wanted to know what I really wanted to do. So for a long time I haven't been painting, for example, and I really, now I am being like crazy, you know, it just has to come out in some way, but and then I think, like, when I'm trying to, okay, now I would just lie down and I would not do anything. And then, like, seeing, okay, when does this become okay? If I'm lying down, then I'm just doing something that I think would be this thing. And then finding this balance between actually making something active or making something passive. And I don't know.
Many times it can happen that we're trying to decide between two things. Should I do this or not? Or should I do this or that? And really, what we really would love to do is just this really quiet, simple thing that we're not even considering. It's a kind of different kind of. And so it's lovely that you notice, like, even lying down can be, I'm doing my lying down that I'm supposed to do.
Also, I'm doubting myself too much all the time. I'm asking, like, really, like, or my mind is doing that all the time. So it's also this, but I kind of try. This is very helpful with the night sky.
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
Can go on, you know, and then I'm kind of free in that.
Yeah.
So
it's
nice.
Yeah. Good. So sometimes the shape doesn't stop when we notice it. The shape of doubting, but it can be useful to feel even the body, what shape it takes when one of my normal things is happening, like doubting myself, putting pressure on myself, whatever. Even noticing the physical shape to be able to make some experiments, but also just letting, like Ariyan was saying, like the shapes aren't me anyway, so just let them be, and I'm the space, I'm the night sky. So it's enough for today. Oh, yes, could you? Good.
Or if you don't like something, oh God, why are we having
trouble? Good. You couldn't hear? So, one trick from Jessica's book is when she finds herself being hard on herself, it'll be like as if really putting on the shape, like really playing like exaggerated theater, or something that she doesn't like outside of herself, like again to really overplay it, like why are we having doll again today? And then it becomes funny. We see how funny it is. Did I do a good imitation? Okay. So, still also feeling all of this, and what are we willing to do for love, the real love? Feeling that also. Sleeping on that. Yes.
I think that the first thing that came to my mind is that if someone asks me, have you had a love in your life? Like the answer is, I don't know. Because someone would say no, but when you love, you know. And actually, it's not true because sometimes you think, yes, I love it full on, and the day after you realize it's your nothing, but I'm not. So, I don't know.
I'm not sure if everyone could see your gesture.
So also, like, I'm always doubting about myself and always controlling myself. And so I never know if really what I'm doing drawn by love or drawn by ethics or shape or whatever.
So knowing that you don't know is the probably perfect and only place to really get going. Really. And keep on knowing that I don't know. Because there's shapes and then there's subtle shapes and then there's almost invisible shapes and then there's even more subtle shapes. And just when we get good at feeling the difference between love and shape, then we get into a complete confusion again on a more subtle level. And again, we can, I thought I was done, I'm not done. So just really keeping in the heart, like, I'm not, I don't know. Yeah. Great. Okay. Just a few moments of silence. May all beings, including ourselves, be what we long for.